Are you in a relationship but you feel like you've got one foot out the door? Do you find yourself looking at your partner and thinking, who is this person? Or maybe you've made attempts to get closer but they're not interested and you're coexisting but it's feeling more and more loveless. So you've given up. You're staying for the kids, the house, the I don't have time to get a divorce, but emotionally you are gone. We're making an episode of Ladies We Need to Talk on quiet quitting your relationship, and we want to hear from you. Send us a voice note or email to ladies@abc.net.au.
ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
I'm in my early 40s and I'm a loser virgin.
Following Jesus is more important than sex for me.
It's kind of like the longer you hold on to a fine wine, the harder it is to find a good reason to open it.
I still just can't escape a feeling of feeling like there's something wrong with me.
The older I get, the harder it is to think, oh, maybe I'll just go and get it done.
Before we get started on this episode about people who haven't had penetrative sex, I'd just like to point out that in my other work as a sex educator, we totally cringe at the idea of virginity and, in fact, avoid using the word virgin altogether. Why? For a number of reasons. First, the concept's excessive focus on penis and vagina sex erases the validity of other sexual experiences. Next, linking purity with sexual inexperience is a form of control of women and girls, of us and our bodies. And the goodness associated with having never had penetrative sex applies only to women. Having sex or not having sex doesn't need to have all this power and meaning attached to it. And so, yes, I'm going to say it, virginity is a social construct. But also, I get it. I get that for a lot of us, maybe most of us, having P and V sex is a milestone. Like moving out of your parents' house, flashing your tits at a concert, or vomiting in an Uber. I'm Yumi Steins. Ladies, we need to talk about adult virgins. In Australia, the average age for girls to have penetrative sex for the first time is between 16 and 17. But what about this? What if the teen years have passed on, you're in your 20s, 30s, 40s, or beyond, and you still haven't, dare I say, ticked that box? We had an avalanche of women contact us when we put out a call for people who had never had sex. Despite the very real and very normal women out there who have not yet had their lady garden ploughed, there is still a taboo around virginity.
I have no relationship with sex, and I'm kind of pretty sad that I've gotten to this age and have lived a completely sexless life.
I want you to meet Jo. She's 42 and has never had sex. Jo grew up believing that sex should be saved for marriage, but as an adult, it's her lack of confidence that's holding her back.
I can't see beyond that. Like, I had, like, serious self-loathing as a young person, and I couldn't see beyond myself because I hated myself so much.
The years rolled on and Jo's self-esteem didn't improve. Her friends all partnered up and settled down.
I lost the ability to put myself in situations where I could get some, right? Because my girlfriend's got married, I'm not going out with them anymore. Mm. So that's not opening me up to meeting someone. So it's like I wasted a decade either hating myself or not putting myself in situations where sexy times can happen. Mm.
Beyond her negative self-image, Jo wants connection before she does the underpants dance.
I actually want someone to care about me before I have sex with them.
Well, look, I mean, that seems okay to me.
I can't see a way out of that because I think the cultural landscape at the moment isn't set up to deal with a person like me who's kind of sensitive.
Jo didn't have those formative, awkward moments making out, locking braces and dry humping as a teenager. It wasn't until she was in her early 20s that she had her first kiss.
It was magical and beautiful and very sweet, and he was a nice guy, and I felt like I'd been waiting for that moment my whole entire life.
Jo calls him a nice guy, but let me draw you a picture. First Kiss Man was known to Jo. He would get her to drive him to and from his spoken word gigs. Yeah, you heard right, his spoken word gigs. I mean, he may as well be a clown living in a drain handing out balloons. And he'd also get her to ferry around whatever girl he was hooking up with at the time. Fast forward to her late 20s and Jo met another nice guy. Sorry, I mean drain clown, who she started hanging out with, but only on his terms.
It became a regular thing. He liked my company as far as he would ask me for massages and I'd always oblige. So I became his kind of like travel to visit masseuse and I'd give him massages. Then sometimes he'd cuddle me, which was like all I ever wanted in life, except he never ever wanted to kiss and he never actually wanted to see me in the daylight.
Maybe he wasn't a clown. He was a vampire.
One night he got into bed naked and he kind of encouraged me in a particular direction.
Ah, the old grabbing you by the head and shoving you south trick.
Yeah, and I blew him and that was like my first and last of that kind of experience. Yeah, I thought I did pretty good. I'd read enough, you know, Cosmo. I'm old, so it was like the Clio or Cosmo sealed sections to kind of know what I was doing and did all the right things.
Okay.
So he did offer to reciprocate, I must admit.
What did you say?
I said, yeah, no thanks. I didn't feel comfortable enough because I feel my body is connected to my emotions and I feel pretty lame for that. And sorry.
It's okay.
I'm such an idiot.
You're really not.
I just feel like I knew he didn't care and I couldn't trust that he'd look after my body. And I just connected to my stupid emotions that you can hear coming out now.
Do you reflect on that incident a lot?
Only to berate myself. I just feel like I have everything to give. Like, I will give everything. Even if I'm not interested in a person, I'll give everything I have, just sort of that little bit of attention. And I feel like such an idiot for wanting that. Yeah,
I can hear you're upset.
I'm sorry.
Don't apologise. And you are not a loser and you are not an idiot. The thing that comes up is that it is the physical contact. It's not the sex and the orgasms and the hot,
yeah, sure,
that hot sexy thing. It's actually just being able to touch somebody else and, mm-hmm, to be touched,
yep,
by somebody else.
Yep.
Would you say that you're touch starved?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, absolutely. I'm super touch starved. Like, I just want someone that cares. Just a little bit. I mean, if any of these guys would have, like, learnt a little bit about me, it wouldn't take much.
And tell me how that impacts you on a sort of a day-to-day basis of feeling touch starved.
I just try not to think about it, Yumi, honestly. I live alone, so, and I have most of my adult life. And I very rarely let myself think about it because I end up in a hole. I just put a lid on that box and just try to live my best normal life so nobody knows that I feel like that.
It was empowering to feel like, okay, this is something that's mine and to choose when to have sex and with whom.
I want you to meet Amanda McCracken. Amanda is a writer on intimacy, love, and longing. Like Jo, she grew up religious. that religion seeded the idea that sex was sacred. But as she got older, Amanda wanted to refrain from having penetrative sex, not because of God, but because she was waiting to find the right person.
I just held on to that one aspect of my sexuality because I felt like I wanted to have something left of myself. And I know for a lot of people, they kind of roll their eyes and think of virginity as being a social construct and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, it is to each person, I think, what it is.
Even though Amanda decided that she was going to wait until she had a deep connection before having penetrative sex, she did do a lot of dating and it wasn't chaste or boring.
What I was doing is was just trying to create some kind of boundaries for myself in a dating world that felt like there were no boundaries. If I was going to quote unquote have some skin in the game, I wanted to at least have some rules set aside for myself, what was okay and what wasn't. That's where I would draw the line.
When you were with partners, fooling around, how did you communicate your limits?
Sometimes I told guys before, you know, we even hooked up that I was a virgin. You know, sometimes I would throw that out there just to see how they would respond. Other times I would wait till, you know, we were making out and I would let them know this, I'm not going here.
Amanda, did any of these men ever push back?
A couple men told me that I was selfish. I did worry that, was I being mean to these men by not having sex with them? You know, and it came back to like, no, like this is my decision. It's my body. I decide when and where and with whom. I don't owe somebody because they bought me a lobster dinner.
God, I love lobster dinner better than a hot dog any day. While Amanda wasn't having the traditional PNV sex, she was getting busy in other ways. I'm talking oral sex, clothes off, fully naked, fooling around. But Amanda does want to make one thing clear.
No anal sex. Let me just put that out there.
You were dating for years. Was it ever hard to hold on to this pact that you'd made with yourself to wait until you were in a committed relationship?
At one point, do you start wondering, does it really matter anymore? Is it still valuable? And I think if it still matters to you, then that's all that really matters. But it's really hard to keep that in focus.
And Amanda, did it matter to you?
Yeah. Otherwise, I would have had sex a long time ago. I had plenty of opportunities. It's kind of like the longer you hold on to a fine wine, the harder it is to find a good reason to open it. And, you know, you don't know. At that one point, you're like, oh, man, I better check with the sommelier and see if it's still good anymore. must be nasty by now.
Let's see how far we can go with this metaphor. I like it a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
I read one of your articles where you said your friend was like, if you've had an orgasm, technically you're not a virgin. What did you think about that?
I think I thought, well, shit. Like,
oh,
well,
shit.
I should have given it up a long time ago. But that was definitely not my definition. And that was true. I like lost my virginity like doing ab exercises in the gym in high school when I had a tiny orgasm, you know?
I'm 30 years old and I've never had sex.
For many women, their relationship with sex is connected to their relationship with God. Emily is one of them.
As a Christian, I believe that the Bible is God's word. I believe what the Bible says about sex, which is that God created it for marriage between a man and a woman.
Have you ever dated?
Yeah, I have.
Tell me about that.
As a Christian, the purpose of dating is a little bit different. It's definitely for still an enjoyable thing and for getting to know someone, but the end goal is marriage. And then what that looks like in terms of sex is that physical intimacy is really different, and different Christians have different things that they're comfortable with. So, for example, I have a friend who had her first kiss on her wedding day.
Okay, and what about you? Where do you sit?
I'm pretty conservative, just naturally. And so my levels of physical touch would be pretty minimal just because that's what I'm comfortable with. And the Bible doesn't have a list of rules of, you know, you can hold hands after your second date or whatever. It's not that kind of thing. So it's really up to individual couples to decide what they're comfortable with.
It's so interesting to talk to you about this because so many people are steered morally and behaviourally by their religions from a young age and then at some point they push back against it or they're overcome by horniness or something and they can no longer follow those rules. But it sounds like, are you sort of peacefully staying within the boundaries set by your religion?
Yeah, I am. And that's not to say that it's not hard at times and that people don't, and myself included, don't find it difficult because our bodies are made to want intimacy and to want connection with people, and being physical is a part of how we connect and part of how we connect emotionally as well. And so for me, at least, it's about deciding what is important, and following Jesus is more important than sex for me.
So you're 30 years old.
That's right, yeah.
Does it feel like a long time to wait to have sex?
For sure. I'm waiting on something that can sometimes feel like an essential part of the adult experience. And so I, in that way, am not the same as some of my friends. It definitely makes you feel weird, but also it does feel like a long time. In Christian circles, people tend to get married pretty young. Mm. So I'm also a bit of an anomaly in my Christian circles as well, because I've made it to 30 without tying the knot. So yeah, I'm a weirdo in both ways, I guess.
Do you think about how your first time will be?
I do, actually, how that would play out and how I would respond to what's going on, or even, like, you know, what would I wear or the practicalities of that kind of situation, because, you know, it's the first time seeing each other naked. It's the first time having more intimacy than you've ever had in your life. And so I definitely wonder about what that would be like.
Sounds pretty daunting, to be honest.
Yes, it does. But I think hopefully you can make good decisions together so that it's not a really pressure-filled, stressful situation, that it's a really kind of beautiful culmination of your marriage together. You know, the Bible says two become one, and so hopefully it's a really nice, or nice isn't a good word, but hopefully it's a really beautiful and pleasurable experience.
I think about the fact that I haven't had sex multiple times a day.
At 25, Xanthi is still young, but for her, virginity is a burden and a curse.
I often think about when will it happen, because the time, like, from my teen years has gone so quickly.
Xanthi feels like she missed those teen milestones, the awkward fumbling, the experimentation, the grinding, the fun.
Well, I've only kissed someone once, and that was when I was 21. So that was a lot of, lots of head noise before that as well, in the lead up to not having had kissed anyone.
The noise in your head, is that those voices saying that you're not hot, or what's the noise that's putting you off?
Yeah, I just feel like there was just that expectation kind of in society that it just should have happened. So I suppose just being really stressed that I was getting older and older.
So do you consider yourself to be attractive?
No. Not nowadays. My body has changed quite significantly in the past couple of years. Like, I've gained a significant amount of weight, and that has definitely changed the way that I view myself. But then even when I did feel really good about myself and I did think that I was attractive, when I had moments where I could have slept with somebody, there was just such a barrier that I, like, still wasn't comfortable with the idea of them seeing me naked or anything.
It's not just the way Xanthi feels about her body that has held her back when it comes to sex.
Like, I have struggled quite badly with anxiety before, and I think that's definitely put a pause on thinking about having sex and stuff like that while I sorted that stuff out.
And when you think about, like, getting naked with someone and sharing intimacy in that way and touching each other, how does that make you feel? Do you feel spooked, or is it totally okay?
Probably a bit of column A, a bit of column B. I feel like when I imagine having sex, like, it's something that I want and I can picture it. I'm comfortable with it. It's something that, yeah, like will be exciting. But then when I actually think about like if someone were to be like right in front of me right now and like if I actually like had to take my clothes off, I think my anxiety would just go sky high, I think.
What is it about not having had sex that impacts you the most?
I still just can't escape a feeling of feeling like there's something wrong with me. But then I know realistically there's nothing wrong with me. And I know a lot of the reasons why, like I haven't gone ahead with having sex yet, but I still just think like there's something up. And I think because I haven't had a lot of attention from guys in my life, generally just think that there's something wrong with me and that I am not attractive. I didn't think that I would cry.
Oh, honey, it's all right if you want to have a cry. Have you told anybody how you're feeling?
I'd talk to my mum about it, but it would be like probably only very, very recently since talking to you guys about it. I have a really great friend that I can talk to about it, which is great. But oftentimes I feel like it really creeps on me at nighttime, like kind of just when I've gone to bed and the day's over, then it really creeps in. And then I just kind of sit with it and am very sad. And sometimes I will cry.
Xanthi, how often do you feel pressure to lose your so-called virginity?
It's more just kind of everyone around me having partners and like having like conversations about sex that I can never join in on and just kind of general social situations that, yeah, I just always end up thinking, yeah, then, you know, it should have happened for me now or why hasn't it?
Do you feel like that you're a little bit of an outlier or maybe a little old-fashioned in that you need this emotional connection in order to get intimate with somebody?
Yes, 100%. Yeah, I definitely feel like an outlier. And yes, I do feel old-fashioned. I feel like there's just so much that I hear just in general life and in the media and on podcasts and all this stuff about, yeah, how free people are sexually. And I just can't relate to that at all, like having sex because you are feeling aroused, not because of the connection you have with the person. Yeah, I just don't think I have that in me to not be connected to someone first.
Sure. And that, Xanthi, that's totally okay. I hope you know that.
Yeah, I do know that.
What excites you about the prospect of having sex?
Being really close to someone, being able to feel all those feelings that you hear about of lust and excitement and love. Like that would be great to experience.
One thing that unites all our guests in this episode is that they feel like they're the only one. Everyone is doing it, everyone but them. It took Jo a long time to realise that she deserves to have sex just as much as the next person.
There are mean people having sex and tall people and short people and fat people and climate change deniers all having sex, like racists having sex.
Have you ever thought about seeing a sex worker for your first time?
With a pro, you'd be assured he's clean. He probably has a bed frame. He probably, you know, has all of the right protection. It's a thing. Tinder guys sleep on the floors in mattresses. Haven't you been on Tinder, TikTok?
No, I have not.
It's a hellhole out there, Yumi.
Yeah.
It's not.
I'm not going there, so.
Don't do it.
Yeah. I'll never have to long for a bed frame. That's right? Not on my horizon.
Yeah, I'm too old.
As time has gone by, Jo's relationship with her body has changed.
One of the things about not having sex is that there's nobody enjoying my body. Like, I see it change as I get older and people have missed out squeezing these boobs and, you know, grabbing this ass. It's soft. It's nice. It's not model perfect, but it's what I live in and I think someone could have a lot of fun with it, with me and with my body.
Jo, when you look into your crystal ball, how do you see your sex life in the future?
It's not going to change unless I do something. I want to say I see things going differently. I want to say in my 40s, I'll push myself to go out and see actual human beings that are outside of my nuclear family. Yeah, I want to say yes. I want to say yes, things will be different. But yeah, I know it won't be unless I, yeah, probably go to that psychologist and go out the door and maybe make that profile. Or
let's say you meet someone and you feel safe with them enough to have sex together.
Yes.
How do you think you'll approach having sex?
That is the ultimate, that I meet them, we care about each other enough, we've gone on a couple of dates at least, he's held my hand. Yeah. I don't know how I'll feel when it happens, but yeah, I just need them to know, and need them to know about my lack of experience, and I need them to do some good Googling and good research about how to make it a good experience. I want to be able to cuddle at the end of the day and go, we'll try again another day and it'll be awesome.
Now, while I hate fairy tale endings as much as I hate hot dogs, for writer Amanda McCracken, the wait to have sex was worth it. After meeting and getting to know the man who would become her husband in her late 30s, at 41, she finally felt that connection that she'd been searching for. Understandably, Amanda wanted their first time together to be memorable and awesome.
We went to this island called Huahine. And I remember when the taxi driver told us that the island Huahine meant basically like female genitalia, I thought, oh yeah, this is the place.
Well, where else to have sex but on Vulva Island? For Amanda, it was not a crashing, crushing disappointment. It was lobster dinner.
It felt right. And it was a relief too, you know, to just to have finally gone there and just to move on in that relationship in a slightly different way. I remember the next morning feeling like he was still inside me. I did. I felt different. And that's what I wanted. I just wanted to feel different in some ways.
So you saved up the bottle of wine and then you finally opened it.
Yes.
And it was okay.
And it was great.
Amanda, we've spoken to a number of women who are still yet to have sex, penetrative sex, and a lot of them are not happy about their situations. What advice do you have for them?
I would say, remember, everybody has their own timeline. Screw what other people think. From just a sex standpoint, I'm having great sex in my 40s. People told me I'd be like dried up by now, so which is not the case. I would tell these women that are feeling worried or angry or ashamed of their situation, that there is not anything wrong with them.
Yes, there's nothing wrong with you. And in this quite mad world, maybe you're the smart one for allowing yourself to feel nervous, for hanging back, for not choosing the clown in the drain, no matter how appealing his red balloons and his mattress with no bed frame.